Turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll be reading three verses, verses 1 through 3. If you'll join with me on that even verse number 2. And once you've found 1 Peter chapter 2, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And let's pray this morning. Father, again, time that we can come and open up this good book. Lord, help us not this morning to take this time for granted. Lord, I just enjoy being in your house with these people. I pray this morning that we'd have the attentiveness to pay attention to what you have for each one of us. I pray that you'll be with the speaker. Holy Spirit, power be upon him. In your name we pray. Amen.
No peace within.
Then Jesus came my way and turned my night to day. Praise God, I found new life in Jesus' name. I found new life in Jesus' name. I found new life. I'll never be the same. Down on my knees, I call and Jesus came. I found new life in Jesus' name.
Oh, what a glorious time there's going to be, because my Savior's face I soon shall see.
When Jesus comes that day, he'll take me home to stay. I'm glad I found new life in Jesus' name. I found new life in Jesus' name. I found new life, I'll never be the same. Down on my knees, I called and Jesus came. I found new life in Jesus' name. I found new life.
Blessing. Thank you, folks. That was good this morning. I am a little warm. I don't know if you folks are or not. Is it warm out there where you are? I see guys doing this. Are the fans on, Brother Griffin? Sir? Those are. So you folks are privileged this morning. Amen. I'm telling you. You're taking care of it. You folks, you're just chump meat. I'm going to tell you what. So let's get the fans going. I think we need to circulate some air. We don't need air conditioning, so to speak. You know, I don't care how cold you keep it. Some folks are going to go to sleep. Amen. And so, but anyway, we'll try to keep it at least somewhat comfortable so that you can hopefully enjoy the message this morning and pay attention. I want to speak to you from this passage on the personal responsibility of cultivation. This personal responsibility of cultivation. Stick with me. You'll understand the title when we get into the message today. Let's pray together. And I'm going to look at those three words right there, and you'll see where I'm going in a little bit. Wherefore, laying aside. Anybody that's had connections with old-time farming will recognize the term laying by. Laying by the corn. Now, I want to see that. Look at there again. Wherefore, laying aside. So we're going to talk a little bit today about the personal responsibility of cultivation. Let's pray together. Our Father, it's good to be in your house. I've enjoyed being with your people. And I pray now that you'll come and help this time of preaching and teaching from your word speak to our hearts. May your Spirit do a good work in our hearts today. Lord, I don't know the specific need of every Christian person in this room. We might have some folks here, Lord, who are not yet saved. They're not Christian as far as being born again. I pray that you'll speak to those hearts. And then we have others here who are newly saved. I pray that you'll speak to their hearts. And then, Lord, we have folks who have been saved here for all lengths of time. Will you please take your Spirit and through the Word of God, speak to our hearts today. We'll thank you for it. We trust in you and lean upon you in Jesus' name. And amen. Organic farming has gained some, I'd say, moderate popularity since the turn of the century in about the year 2000. There are farmers in the area where we live out here, about 4 miles outside of town, who have turned some of their acreage of land into organic farming. Now, there's a lot of stipulations and requirements as what you can do and what you cannot do in order to consider it organic. Simply speaking, this type of farming strictly excludes the use of synthetic pesticides and herbicides, and it relies more on the natural means of dealing with insects and weeds. And it's been interesting for me to watch the learning curve that my neighbors have gone through over the last several years to be successful at this type of farming. The yields aren't as large as traditional farming type yields, but the price for the product is a lot higher. And so they've committed to it. And I wouldn't say 100% of their land, but a good portion of their land, they've committed to organic farming. And, you know, it's been interesting to watch them develop because, I'll tell you, and they would tell you, there are a few years there where you passed by the field and you couldn't see the beans for the weeds. I mean, because they didn't put any herbicide on there. Okay, so nothing to control the weeds. And, you know, after years of using conventional means of dealing with insects and weeds, it's taken them some time to learn how to manage the weeds and the insects according to stipulations that make it organic. You understand what I'm saying? You know, you and I aren't even allowed to really go on the property and walk. They have big no trespassing signs up, organic farm. And so there's a lot that goes into it. See, with the soil in its natural state, you cannot just sow seed and expect a crop without weed and insect problems. After the seed is sown and the plants begin to grow, whether you're a conventional farmer or an organic farmer, you have to consistently and personally fight the weeds and insects that hinder growth. Now, you know this is true. If you, on a smaller scale, if you enjoy planting a garden or a flower bed every spring, I would imagine there are probably people here who have gardens every year. We did. We still have a garden. We had a bigger one when all the kids were at home. And there were years that we lost our garden to the weeds. There were a couple of years where we lost it because of circumstances and so forth. The weeds got big and overwhelmed the plants, and we didn't get any product off of those plants. The key to a great garden or an enjoyable flower bed is not found in resource books. The key to a successful garden or flower bed is on the working end of a hoe, where you have to get out there, the sun is over your head, maybe you put a shade hat on, and you get out there maybe early of a morning, and you're working with that hoe, and you put your hands on it, and you begin to get with it, and you're hoeing out the weeds. Any garden, any flower bed of any size, left to itself, will naturally be overcome with weeds, thistles, and so forth, that hinder growth, choke out productivity. You know what I'm talking about, okay? Now, with that thought in mind, in our text this morning in the Word of God, Peter speaks of the personal responsibility that is involved in Christian growth. Now, look at verse number 1 here in chapter 2. The Bible begins this chapter with the word, wherefore. Now, if you've been saved, you've been in church for a while, when you come to the words, wherefore and therefore, You have to read the previous verses to find out what the word is there for. Okay? So here we are. First word in verse number 1 is wherefore. So I want you to look back at chapter 1, verse number 23. Look back at chapter 1, verse number 23. Just a couple of verses north of the verse there in chapter 2, verse 1. Where the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Bible speaks here about being saved. The terminology is born again. Maybe you've heard that word, heard those words used out there. Born again. Those are born again people. That's a Bible term, okay? That means that they've been, people that are born again have been saved by trusting in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, okay? Now, folks, we are saved. Look what it says here in verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. We are saved because in this book right here, is the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This book tells us that every person born into this world comes into this world in a sinful condition. And if they don't get born again, they have to be eternally separated from God forever in the place called hell or the lake of fire. This book also tells us that the way to avoid that is to trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. This is what this verse is talking about here. It's talking about salvation. It's talking about being born again. Listen very carefully. You do not become born again by good works. In fact, let me read these words to you. Listen to these words out of John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, talking about Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. When did you become the son or daughter of your parents? You became the son or daughter of your parents when you were born to them. For me, that was on January 27, 1957. I was born to Robert and Amanda Angel. Now listen again. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You become the son of God. You become a child of God. You're born to God when you trust in what Jesus did to save you from your sin. You are not born to God because you got baptized. You're not born to God because you're an American. You're not born to God because you've said a few prayers in your life. You're born to God because you had a head-on collision with the Holy Spirit who put you under conviction, showed you that you were a sinner, pointed you to Jesus Christ, and by faith you trusted in what Christ did to save you. That's what being born again. Now listen to what He says in verse 13. Listen again. But as many as received Him, Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Listen to this, verse 13. Which were born not of blood. In other words, Christians are not, nobody is born to God by physical birth. You're not born a Christian. Have you ever met anybody? Hey, I'd like to talk to you for just a little bit about eternity. Do you know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Oh, I've been a Christian all my life. Nobody is born by physical birth a child of God. That's what it says here, okay? Not of blood. That doesn't come by physical blood. Then it says, nor of the will of the flesh. You can't do good works for salvation. You can't just decide, well, you know what? I'm going to turn over a new leaf and I'm going to restore myself and I'm going to straighten things out and I'll become a Christian. It's not done by the will of the flesh. It's not done because you make up your mind to trust in some higher power that you've chosen to be your higher power. Friend, there is no higher power but God. Okay? He is the God of salvation. That's where some of these government programs that are supposed to be designed to help people kick addictions get off base. It's not up to me and you to choose who's going to be our higher power. There is one higher power, and His name is God. Okay? And you're not born again. You don't become a Christian by deciding, well, I'm going to do good. Okay? So it's not of blood, nor is it of the will of the flesh. Then it says, nor of the will of man. In other words, this is for you that are visiting, this is my son. But I can't make my son saved. I can't wish my son to be saved. I can't give my son my salvation. That's my wife sitting out there. I can't give her my salvation. I can't make her saved. It's not done by the will of man. You're born, this is what it says, not of blood. You're not born a Christian, nor the will of the flesh. You can't work yourself into Christianity. nor of the will of man. Somebody can't do it for you. But of God. You're saved when you are born of God to God. And you get saved when you trust in what Jesus did for your sin debt on the cross of Calvary, when He died, was buried, and rose again, and you embrace that by faith and say, this is what I'm trusting in to get me to heaven. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ, and then and only then are you born to God. All right? So that's what we're talking. That's what he's talking about in verse number 23, being born again. Now, look at what he says in verse number 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Okay? Mike read this for us a minute ago. We read it with him. He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, verse 23 talked about the seed of God's Word, and verse 2 talks about the milk of God's Word. So here, when you get saved, the Bible says it's like being a newborn baby in Christ. Look, when I was born to Robert and Amanda Angel in January of 1957, I was not born a full-grown adult with maturity and with mature capabilities. I was born a little child. And when you get saved, you're born a little, if you will, born a little spiritual infant. That's what you are. You are a babe in Christ. And as a babe in Christ, the Bible says, we're to desire the sincere, pure milk of the Word of God. Why? So that we might grow. Listen, folks, when you get saved, you're like born a spiritual infant. And as soon as a little infant is born physically into this world, what do they want to do? They want to eat. I go down to the hospital when our ladies of the church have their babies, or maybe to a house, and sometimes if I go to the hospital, knock on the door, and they'll say, who is it? And I'll say, Pastor, can I visit with you just for a moment? And sometimes it's just the husband's usually there, you know, and just a minute, preacher, just a minute, Pastor. And because mom is feeding the baby, and she wants to make sure that she's presentable. And that's not, nobody's shocked, nobody's amazed that the baby is eating. That's common. Why? Because that's what babies do when they're born into this world. Babies eat. And so God says, now you've been born again, you're a little spiritual infant, and what you need to do, like physical babies, is start to eat. But your food as a Christian is the milk of the Word of God. So you know what? Not only does this book have power to give us life and birth us into God's family, this book has power to cause us to grow as a Christian after we get saved. Are you with me so far? Okay. So that's what we're talking about here. Okay. Now, so the same is true as like a little physical baby is born and becomes the son or daughter of dad and mom. And now they're going to start eating and growing. Peter says, okay, you've been born again. You're a spiritual infant. Now start thirsting and hungering for the Word of God that you can grow. But I want to show you something. There is a verse between the verses that I've already read. Verse number 1. Look at it again, okay? Because we have given new life in Christ, look what it says here in verse number 1. Wherefore, because you're newly saved, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. You've been given new life. You're a child of God. You've been saved. Now you want to start growing as you feed on the milk and the meat of God's Word. He says, in order to grow, while you're eating and drinking the food and the milk that's in the Word of God, in order to grow, you're going to have to lay aside these things out of your hearts, because if you don't, these are going to grow up and choke out. They're going to choke and make you unproductive and make you unfruitful. That's what he's talking about here in verse number 1. Now, in just a few days, a few weeks, the farmers are going to go out here to their fields and they're going to take their planters and they're going to go down through the field and they're going to sow the seed. They're going to put beans in the ground. They're going to put corn in the ground. And you know what's always fun to me when I drive through the country? I look out over the fields and when it just starts to get a green tint to it. You can just see the green tent. And you look down those rows, and you see those little bitty sprouts of corn coming up out of the ground, and those little bitty sprouts of those bean plants coming up out of the ground, and that ground is taking on a green hue. The new life of those plants is growing. Then you give it a little bit more time. Now they're about this tall, okay, or maybe that tall. And you see the farmers with their tractors, and they got an implement attached to the back of their tractor, And they're going down those rows of beans, and they're going down those rows of corn, and they are doing what is called cultivating. The farmers in years gone by called it laying by. I'm going to lay by the corn. They took the implement and they went down through the harrow or whatever implement they use, a cultivator. And they go down that row, and that cultivator tears out those weeds, and as it tears out the weeds, it throws the ground up on the corn plants. Because after a while, the corn plants are going to get so tall, their leaves are going to spread out and make a canopy, and the sunlight can't get down to the ground and the weeds won't grow once the canopy's in place. Are you with me? Okay? But until the canopy's in place, the ground's got to be cultivated. The cultivator goes down through the rows and it tears out the weeds. And it also lays the soil by the corn. Laying by. Lay by the corn. Tear the weeds out and lay the soil by the corn so that it will strengthen the thing and it'll grow a strong plant. Now, that's what will happen in a few weeks. Now, folks, why are the farmers out there doing that? Why are they cultivating? Because they want their crops to grow. And if the ground is not cultivated properly, you know what's going to happen? It will naturally grow weeds. It will attract bugs. And the weeds and bugs will damage and hinder the growth of their crops. You know, that makes sense. We understand that. We live in farm country. They can't just throw the seed out there and say, okay, that's done. I'll wait for the crop. Well, they're not going to get a crop. They're going to get a field of weeds. They're going to get a field of thistles. They're going to get a field of cockleburrs. It's going to choke out the corn and choke out the beans, and there'll be a disappointing harvest because the weeds were allowed to grow unhindered. Now listen, some saved people get truly born into God's family. They get saved, but then they experience disappointing growth results. They get saved and they're excited about being saved. And yes, they'll start to read a little bit of God's Word. And maybe they'll go to church some, you know, and start getting in some church services and getting in some classes and being taught. But it just seems like the growth never comes. Why is the growth disappointing? Why is it hindered? Because in some cases, there's no cultivation. I've got a personal responsibility. You've got a personal responsibility to cultivate the soil of your heart. I've got a personal responsibility to cultivate the soil of my heart. That's why Peter wrote here and said, wherefore, laying aside, you're saved. Now that you're saved, lay aside all malice. Lay aside guile. Lay aside hypocrisies. Lay aside envies. Lay aside evil speakings. Folks, he's not talking to the Spirit of God here. He's talking to these Christians. You've got a responsibility. Cultivate the ground of your heart. The seed of new life has been planted in you. You're born into God's family. You've got what it takes to grow a crop into maturity. But if you don't cultivate the soil of the heart, it's going to be hindered by weeds, overcome by thistles. So he says, lay by. Laying aside. Lay by the corn. Dig the weeds out. Throw the good soil up on the roots. Help them to grow strong. And that's what Peter is saying here. He's saying, work the ground of your heart. Work. The farmer doesn't say, again, he doesn't plant his seed and then just say, okay, I'm good now till October. And so his seed said, no, he has to cultivate and work and apply the herbicide and apply the pesticide. And a child of God who doesn't toil and cultivate the ground of their heart is never going to produce a full, mature Christian experience. Never going to enjoy that. Now look at what he says in verse number one again, laying aside. Okay, I want to show you in your Bible this morning, this is not a one-time thing. This is a very common reference in our New Testaments. Now, would you turn your Bibles this morning? Turn back a few pages to Ephesians. Turn back a few pages to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, okay? Because I want you to see what the Word of God has to say about it. Ephesians chapter 4. And look here with me at verse number 22. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. Find your place here because I want you to, and we're going to turn quickly through these next three or four passages, but I want you to see the reoccurring theme. This is not a one-and-done thing in the New Testament. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 22. that ye put off, laying aside, put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Look at verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Putting away, laying aside. Okay? Turn the page or look at verse number 31. Same chapter. Same chapter, verse number 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Laying aside. Put away. Put off. Are you seeing a similar phrase here over and over again? Lay it aside. Put it away. Put it off. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Turn over a few pages. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 8 and 9. Again, you're going to notice some of the same terminology. Paul is writing these scriptures here. Look at this. Colossians 3 verse 8. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Are you seeing the reoccurring terminology? Put off. Put off. Put away. Lay aside. Folks, who is he talking to? He's talking to Christian people. That's who he's talking to. He's talking to people who are members of churches. He's not talking to pastors. He's not talking to evangelists. He's not talking to missionaries. He's talking to Christian people. Put it away. Put it off. Put it aside. Lay it off. Lay it aside. Lay it by. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Turn over there. Toward the back of the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Look at what Jesus said in this verse. It's a very familiar verse. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us lay aside. This is personal responsibility. Look at James chapter 1. I'm telling you, it's just over and over again. Look at James chapter 1, verse 21. Look what the Bible says here. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save or salvage your souls. Now, look, folks, over and over and over and over and over, these writers in the New Testament are telling God's people, cultivate the ground of your heart. Lay aside this stuff. Put it away. Put it off. Lay it by. It's a personal responsibility that every Christian needs to assume. You know, saved people have new life planted in the ground of their hearts. But that ground, hey, listen to me. Your heart, even though the seed of new life in Christ has been planted in your heart still has all the seeds of all the wicked stuff in there too. So does mine. That hasn't gone anywhere. So all the weeds and the thistles and the thorns of that old life are still implanted in us too. And those things need to be dealt with, or they're going to grow alongside our new life in Christ. And they'll choke it. They'll choke it. You know, I got a nice strawberry bed right now. And I need to maintain it and do some work on it this spring. But years ago, Brother Irvin gave me several strawberry slips. And you know, I planted those strawberry slips. I think he might have helped me plant them out there. And we had a nice strawberry bed. But you know what Terry Angel didn't do? He didn't cultivate it like he should have. And guess what grew in that ground where those strawberry plants were planted? Weeds. You say, well, I thought strawberry plants were there. Yeah, but folks, the soil still had the stuff in it. Soil still had the weeds, the thistles, still had the seeds in it. It's there. And so, you know what happened? I don't pay attention. I'm not diligent. I go out there one day. I don't even see the strawberry plants. I can't even see them. I got to dig through the thistles and the weeds. You said, I thought it was a strawberry bed. It is. But it's choked out. There's no berries. There's no fruit. All the seed is there. The plants are there. But all those weeds and thistles and cockleburs that should have been cultivated out, it grew up beside it and it choked out the productivity and the fruit of the strawberry plants. Now, you know, God tells us what some of the weeds that are in our hearts are. Malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and lying and evil speakings and anger and stealing and bitterness and wrath and clamor and blasphemous and filthy communication and filthiness. Those are weeds. And some of those things need to be cultivated out. Those things need to be cultivated. They need to be laid by, laying aside, put off, put away. Well, I just can't do that because, you know, that's just the way I am and just the way. No, friend, come on. Now, you can't do it in the power of your flesh. You've got to do it in the power of God's Spirit and through the help of His Word. But you and I have a personal responsibility to weed that stuff out. Weed it out. I tell you what, filthy communication. I think that's a pretty good thing to weed out of your life. Filthy communication. Somebody, you know, sometimes I hear men make comments that shock me. That you would make such a comment in public. You're a filthy mind. If you make a comment like that in public, what must you talk like in private? I'm thinking to myself, my soul, what's the matter with God's people? You know, folks, every person who's saved has the potential to be a productive Christian. But along with that potential to be productive is also the potential to be unfruitful. It just depends on what we let grow in our hearts. Get it out. Lay it aside. Lay it by. Put it off. Put it away. Over and over and over again. Now, I've got a very elementary and crude illustration this morning, which is, you know, I mean, I'm not a very polished person as it is, but I could do, I mean, some of you could make a lot better pots, and these are two flower pots, and I didn't put soil in them because if I put soil in them, then they're going to dump on the ground, and I'm going to have to clean it up. But this is a pot right here, and all this is the ground of the soil, just like that. Maybe I should have put the soil of the earth, okay? So here's the soil of the earth, like that's out here in our yard. And here, this is the ground of the heart. So this is the soil of our hearts, okay? So this is the earth, and this is our heart, okay? Now, follow the analogy. This is the illustration. Follow the illustration. The natural state of the soil contains the seeds of weeds and thorns and thistles. Is that right? If we went out here and just dug up a shovel full of dirt and put it in this pot, folks, I can give it time. It's eventually going to grow a weed out of there. Because that's the natural state of soil. Well, guess what? The natural state of the soil of our hearts contains the seeds of weeds and thorns and thistles. Jesus said that Himself. He said, the things that are outside man can't defile him. It's what comes from his heart. These things are in our hearts. You don't have to teach your child to lie. They know how. That's in them. It was in you. It was in me. They don't have to teach a kid how to be selfish. The weeds and thorns and thistles of sin are in our hearts. Naturally in our hearts. Now watch this, number two. The farmer comes along. Here's the soil of the earth. He plants the good seed in the soil and it brings forth life. He puts a corn plant, a seed in there. He puts a bean seed in there. Here's the proper moisture and sun. And pretty soon, here's the plant. It came out of that soil. All right? Well, the Word of God comes along. Somebody tells us from the Word of God that we need to be saved, that Jesus died for us, that He shed His blood so we could go to heaven, not go to hell. And we get saved and new life is planted in our hearts. All right? We're born again. We now have new life in Christ Jesus. All right? Watch this. Now, this soil over here, it has the good seed of the beans and the corn, but it also has the bad seeds of weeds and thistles in the same pot. Now go out here, dig up a ground, dig up a shovel full of earth, put it in here. There's going to be seeds of thorns and weeds and thistles. All right. And then if I put the seeds and the whistles, amen. All right. The weeds and the thistles. Now if I put the corn in here and the beans in here, the seeds of the thorns and the weeds and the thistles don't automatically go away. Now, we get salvation, but that doesn't mean that anger and malice and filthy communications and evil speakings and jealousy and bitterness and wrath, they don't go away. They're in there. Are we together so far? This is not difficult, is it? Okay. The farmer, if he wants a full harvest, he's got to get busy. He's got to cultivate the soil. He's got to dig the weeds out. If a Christian wants a full harvest, if you want to be productive, you've got to get the weeds of sin out. Now, you're never going to get them completely out, but they got to be kept under control. Isn't that what the farmer does? Even though he cultivates one year, the weeds come back next year. And he's got to do it all over again. And you and I have to cultivate the soil of our hearts. And we've got to ask God to help us with our lying. And help God to help us with filthy communication. And help God to help us, ask God to help us with anger. And ask God to help us with wrath. And ask God to help us with hypocrisy. And with guile and malice. God, get this out of my... When is the last time you bowed your head in prayer and asked God, please, Lord, please, take that out of me. God, get that out of me. Please help me to get victory over that. I'm tired of living in oppression of that sin. Please change me. Please help me. When's the last time you got busy cultivating? Cultivating. It's got to be laid by. The ground has to be laid by. And it's so important for us to be personally aware, to be personally responsible, to make sure that we cultivate the ground. I want you to go with one more passage, and then we're almost done. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I've got one passage, one story, and we'll be done. Romans chapter 6, and look with me at verse number 11. Because this is a key passage for this, okay? I'm talking about for every child of God to be able to enjoy a happy, victorious Christian life. You've got to cultivate the ground of your heart. Romans chapter 6, verse number 11. Look at it here, okay? You got a Bible? Look on with somebody if you don't. Look here. All right, look what it says. Likewise. Now, he's talking to Christian people. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have, what's that next word? Dominion over you. It does not say sin shall not be in you. It says sin shall not have what? Dominion. That's power. That's reign. Okay? For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Look at these key words, folks. Look at verse number 11. You see that word reckon? That word reckon means count. Count yourself dead to sin. Hey, child of God, you've been saved. You've gotten the new life that was given to you in Christ Jesus the moment you trusted Him as your personal Savior. In the soil of your heart is planted new life in Christ Jesus. Now, count yourself dead indeed unto sin. Count yourself dead to sin. Look at the next word. But alive unto God. I'm not the person I used to be. I am a Christian. I'm a child of God. I'm a different person on the inside. I have new life in me. I am not the old person I used to be. Now look at verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign. Reign. Does it say let not sin therefore exist? Doesn't say that, does it? It says, let not sin therefore what? Reign. What does that word reign mean? Rule. Hey. You think I am beyond the ability to lie? You think I'm beyond the ability to be ugly to my wife? You think I'm beyond the ability to lose my temper? No, it's all in there. It's all in there, folks. And I have a responsibility not to let those things reign. Not to rule my life. They sat on the throne of my heart before I got saved. But when I got saved, Jesus came by and kicked them off the throne of my heart and sat down there and took that for Himself. Now how foolish would I be to ask Jesus to vacate and put temper back on there? How foolish would I be to ask Christ to vacate the throne and put evil speaking, filthy communication back on there? That's silly. I'm not to let sin reign. I'm supposed to lay by, lay apart, set aside, get it out, put it off. Ask God to cultivate the ground of my heart and take the weeds out. God, please help the sin of my life to be under the control of Your Spirit, under the control of Your power. You know, they had difficulty. The first couple of years they tried organic farming. They had difficulty with the weeds. And seriously, I'm not, man, they're great farmers. But I'm telling you, folks, I would drive by their field, I would feel sorry for them. Because a farmer loves a what? Loves a clean field. Man, you look down those 120 acre fields of soybeans, and there's no volunteer corn, and there's no button weeds. That thing's clean as a whistle. That's pretty. Now, folks who live in the mountains don't understand that. But that's pretty. But I'm telling you, I would drive by their fields and I'd look at it and go, it's horrible. It's horrible. But they weren't using any traditional herbicide. These weeds were shoulder height. You couldn't even see the plants. And then one day I'm driving down the road and I'm, you know, kind of just looking, you know. And I stop my truck. I'm looking because here is this implement behind this tractor. I've never seen anything like it before in my life. It's got a big old tank on there. It looks like a big propane tank. And it's got two big old booms going out both sides. And here's fire and heat coming out of the bottom of those booms. And I'm watching this. And then either Chuck or Tom came by and I said, "What is he doing?" And the brothers, you know, he said, we're trying to burn these weeds off. He said, I found in this magazine, this implement, that's a propane tank on the back of that tractor there. And that's those booms have those jets and those propane, it's fire, it's heat. And it just, and it burns the weeds and leaves the corn. I thought to myself, yeah, right. But truth of the matter is, it worked. I went back sometime later, and that field was pretty well clean, at least a whole lot better than it was. And they said, well, that's an extreme thing. Uh-huh. Because they're kind of interested in getting a crop. And when you and I get really interested in pleasing God and wanting to be a good Christian and bring Him glory, we're going to get interested in extreme measures, if we have to get the weeds under control. I didn't say get rid of them. Get them under control. Get them under control. I asked a farmer one time, I said, "Hey man, can you get me some 2,4-D? Now, if you're inexperienced with weeds or anything, 2,4-D is powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. You have to be a licensed man to get that stuff. But I needed some help. And he told me no. He said, "No, I can't help you with that." I said, "Oh, man." He said, "Why would you go to 2,4-D? Because I had weeds I needed to get rid of." I'm simply saying this, folks. It may be that you have to get extreme about it. You got to get extreme about it. Get it under control. Dig out the weeds. Ask God to help you lay aside the soil. Dig those weeds up. Just put them out to the side. You won't get rid of them completely, but they've got to be under control. It's called the personal responsibility of cultivating the soil of your heart. When's the last time you went with a cultivator down the rows of your heart and said, "This has got to change"? Maybe that's what needs to happen. Start with one. That besetting sin. Get it out. Get it under control. And go on to enjoy a productive, fruitful Christian life. The personal responsibility of cultivation. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for paying attention this morning. And before we pray, I want to just ask you a couple questions today. If you would, give me carefully your attention, even though your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder this. I want to say, "Pastor, you know, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I understand the analogy. I understand the principle, the illustration of the soil and our heart. And the truth of the matter is, there's some things that need to get under control in my life. There are some things that need to get under control in my life. And God knows what they are, and I know what they are. But there are some things that need to get under control. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up in the air? I see many hands. God bless you. I join you. Thank you. Take your hands down. God bless you. I appreciate that. There are some things that need to get under control. Is there somebody else that would say, I should have raised my hand just then? I got some weeds that are out of control, some thistles that have grown way. Yes, God bless you. Is there somebody else? I see your hand. God bless you. Is there somebody? I said, I should have raised my hand just then. Pray for me. Anybody else? God bless you. Somebody else? Thank you. May take your hand down. I appreciate that. All right. In just a minute, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God to help us do that. Now, let me ask this question. Is there anybody here today who would say, Brother Angel, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know where I'm going when I die. I have no clue if I will go to heaven or not. I don't know. I have no idea. That's me. I don't know where I'm going when I die. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up this morning so I could pray for you specifically? I don't know for sure that I'm saved. Would you just slip it up, take it right back down. Anybody here today, God bless you. I see your hand. Thank you. I don't know that I'm saved. Somebody else. I'm not going to embarrass you now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're serious about that, you don't really know where you're going when you die. We have people that can show you from the Bible how you can know. In just a minute, we're going to give an invitation. And a lot of these folks that raise their hands will come and pray. Would you please come and we can have a lady show you how to be saved this morning from the Bible. If you're here today, you've been saved, but you've not been baptized. You can come and follow the Lord Jesus today in believer's baptism. But I'm going to pray now. Ask God to speak to hearts. Heavenly Father, I cannot do any more than I've already done. I preached your word. We've asked you to work in hearts. Many hands were lifted this morning. So, Lord, it seems like you spoke to people. Would you help us get the weeds under control? Would you help us, God? There are things in our hearts. You know what they are. Between me and you, God, you know my weeds. You know the weeds and thistles in the hearts of these dear people. Would you please help us get those things under control? Touch that heart today. And then, Lord, anybody who's unsaved, please draw them to Christ this morning, this invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're not saved, as soon as the music begins, join the others. Come and pray. Let's have somebody show you from the Bible how to be saved. Don't hesitate. Don't linger. Don't waste time. Let's do it. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you come while we wait? You raised your hand this morning. Would you come? Would you please join the others? Many people are coming. Would you just come? I'd like to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Would you come this morning? You just come right down the aisle. We'll have somebody talk to you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. While we wait today.